Good evening. I just want to make a few comments about Tenebrae. You'll see that throughout the bulletin there are places that indicate for sitting and standing. The service is intended for meditation and observation, to see the things that happen through this service, to hear the prophet speaking to us in the Psalms, speaking the words that Jesus would speak from the cross, even in some cases. The Psalms, the first two Psalms, will be read by Bob and I. So you can look and follow along if you would like. I want to encourage you just to listen to the words that are spoken. There's three psalms at the beginning. The third psalm, we all will speak together. There are two pieces of music that will be played between the psalms, and Mark and Jenny will sing those. So again, for our meditation, our prayers to the Lord. There's also another piece at near the end of the service after the sermon. The lights will, at some point right before the prayers, will all be turned down. What you will be speaking during that time, you know those words. You can look ahead, but you won't have light to see it when we get to that point, depending on sunset. At the end of the prayers, a candle that is still lit will be extinguished. Please remain seated. There will be a time for prayer between that and a loud noise that you will hear. That loud noise has a fancy name. It's called a strepitus. All it means is loud noise. After that loud noise, the lights will be turned up a little so that you can see to leave. I pray that the service will be meaningful to you, and that the Spirit will talk to you throughout the service. So we begin. Please rise. O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste
to help me, O Lord. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation. God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me, they wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death.
For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. Oh, you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. And stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but he has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. The kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to coming generations. They shall come and proclaim the righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock or refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. And for your name's sake, you lead me and guide me. You take me out of the net they have hidden for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. I hate those who pay regard to worthless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will receive and be glad in your steadfast love, because you have seen my affliction. You have known the distress of my soul, and you have not delivered me into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a broad place. Be gracious to me, O Lord, from I am in distress. My eye is wasted from grief, my soul and my body also, for my life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel.
For I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me, as they plot to take my life. But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. O Lord, let me not be put to shame, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them go silently to Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak insolently against the righteous in pride and contempt. Oh, how abundant is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, and worked for those who take refuge in you, in the sight of the children of mankind. In the cover of your presence you hide them from the plots of men. You store them in your shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has wondrously shown his steadfast love to me when I was in a besieged city. I had said in my alarm, I am cut off from your sight. But you heard the voice of my pleas for mercy when I cried to you for help. Love the Lord, all you his saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. Let us join in speaking together, Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage, and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together. He who sits in the heavens laughs. Lord. Son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage. O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John, the 19th chapter. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him, and the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing that crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me, not at all, unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, Do not write, the King of the Jews, but rather, this man said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be. This was to fulfill the scriptures, which says, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour the disciples took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scriptures, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, They will look on him when they have pierced whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We
have an advocate with the Father, Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is put away. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Behold, and you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Behold the man. Behold the king. Behold the king, Jews. Behold the king, Gentiles. Behold your king. Behold the true king of heaven and earth. Behold the king, presidents, dictators, rulers, wherever you may be. Behold the king who dies on a cross. Behold armies of the world. The King of Peace dies for sinners. Behold the King wrapped in burial cloths and lies in a tomb. Behold, world, this is your Creator. Behold, world, this is your Redeemer. Behold the glory of God. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. Has there ever been such love? Who can fathom it? Who can understand it? Who can see the glory? God's people can see the glory. God has glorified His Son because His Son glorified the Father. Behold the one who reigns. Because even though He was laid into a tomb, He conquered death. Because we know death could not hold Him, because He is the author of life. Everything in the world and in the universe was made by Him, and there is nothing that was not made by Him. All of this glory He set aside for us. What kind of love is this? That for frail men He came and died. What kind of love indeed? Behold your King! Because that's what He is. I must confess to you, I don't understand that kind of love. Because it's not a love that comes from this world. It's not a love that we are used to. We deserve death. We deserve the wrath of God. And yet God has no desire to pour that wrath on us. He has no desire that we live in sin and sorrow. He has no desire to see us suffering, hungry, naked, homeless. Behold the King. Behold His love. Behold the King, world. Behold the King, all you nations. Behold your King, all who struggle and want peace. For God has brought His peace into the world through the death of our Lord. He has brought us redemption, and He has paid the price Himself. What great sorrow must have been in the heart of God when He turned from His Son can't imagine. But he did. He turned from his son. His son cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Behold, the king who is victorious, who knew that even though he had to go into death, cross into this place of darkness, this place of separation for man and God, and vanquish it. What kind of love is this? Behold, our Savior, who for a time will lie in a tomb, so that he can declare his victory to those who dwell in darkness, those who are imprisoned in hell, that no longer Satan has control. No longer Satan has the upper hand over mankind. He is crushed. Christ crushed him. And Christ made the grave a doorway into heaven. Christ is the door. When we pass through death, what we still see and grieve over, yet we will live. That's what Jesus said. He is the resurrection and the life. And he who dies and believes in me shall never die. Those are promises from our King because of what he has done. And we know it's right and good, and it went the way God intended. John demonstrates that to us. How these things that Jesus went through, the events that took place, were fulfillment of the scriptures themselves. See how the little things that don't seem like they would matter much are the very things that are the signs that point us to God's promise fulfilled. See the soldiers gambling. See the people deriding our Lord. All these things were spoken of in the Psalms. All these things were spoken of by the prophets. Everything that took place. Behold the man! Behold the king. Behold the man. Behold the king. Dead people are not kings. And our Lord is not dead. He lives. He lives. And he is our king. Our God is not the God of death. Our God is a God of life. And his Son reigns. He did all things right. And because he has done all things right, he now reigns. God has glorified him. And we too lift our voices of praise and thanksgiving. Behold, your King, he lives. Amen. We'll join in singing the canticle. Go ahead. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Redemption from everlasting death through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.